look at a quick scripture here. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. And this scripture is a challenge to all of us. Something we all really need to examine our hearts. It says, starting in verse 15 again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just am amazed that you desire to use us, God. I'm a miserable wretch. I have nothing to offer these people, God. I desperately need you. I need you myself. We all need you, Lord. So we pray that you would meet us here. That you would speak to each of our hearts. That you would convict us, encourage us. Your Spirit would just move through this place to just that we would let go of the things in our lives, the things that are getting in the way of you. We would let go of the world, that we would not be entangled with the things of this world, God, but we would totally surrender all to you, Jesus. Lord, your word is powerful, living and active. Speak to us tonight. And God, we want to bring you glory through all that's said and done. In Jesus' name. You know, in this short little passage, I see four things. First of all, I see a warning. Secondly, I see a great choice, our great choice, all of our choice. Third, what the world offers. And the fourth, I see the consequences of our choice. And first here in this short passage, we're given a stern warning. It says in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." You know, God created the heavens and the earth. He created it perfect. It was without sin. It was perfect. His creation was good. It was perfect. And God created man and woman in His image. And He gave us dominion over the creation. It says in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You know, God never created us to worship the creation. He created us to worship Him. We are created for that purpose, to worship God. But what happened? He gave us free will. He gave us a choice. True love is only possible if you have ability to choose to not to love. God gave us free will, hoping that we would use that free will to freely choose to love Him with all of our hearts. But sin came. Adam and Eve chose to reject God, and they turned over the title deed to the earth to Satan. And God's perfect creation was destroyed. You know, God wanted us to love Him and obey Him, follow Him, and have a close relationship. Do you know that God wants to have a close personal relationship with every one of us? You know, so many people, I don't know how often you guys go out or if you've ever shared your faith, but people love their sin. People choose to reject God and to love the world, to love self, to choose to let self be on the throne, to let self be God. In our verse it says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world." You know, the world we're talking about here is that world system that sinful man has set up to find happiness without God. That's the world. Whenever you hear it talking about the world, it's this sinful man, it's a system that man set up to find happiness without God. So the warning to us tonight, to all of us, to me, the warning to me is, do not love the world, that world system set up by man, and be living in rebellion to God. But love God, choose to obey God and follow Him freely by your own free will. Which leads us to our second point, our choice. We all have to choose. The second half of verse 15, it says, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You know, we can't have both. Clearly, it says that verse, if you love the world, you can't love the Father. You can't have both. You know, God is a jealous God and wants us to love only Him. You can only have one king. You can't have God, the world. You can't let self reign. You have to choose who's going to be the king of your life. Who's going to be on that throne in your heart. You can't love God and this world system. Jesus made it very clear. Matthew 6, Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon, money, or this world system. You can't love them both. You have to choose. Jesus again said in Matthew 6:21, another verse in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, true salvation, people don't like to hear this a lot of times, true salvation includes surrendering to Jesus Christ. Not only as your Savior, asking Him to be your Savior, to save you from your sins, people like that. Most people on the streets, when you're witnessing to them, they're quick to realize, or quick to acknowledge most of the time, that they're sinners. My wife ran across one guy that said that he was perfect, he'd never sinned, but you know, that's not very often. I could not believe it. He literally walked away from the conversation, and he totally said that he had kept the law perfectly. It's like, well, you must be God. But you know, true surrender to Christ is part of salvation. Not only asking Him to be your Savior, but surrendering your life to Him as Lord. You know, in John 3:16, my favorite verse, the most popular verse in the Bible, which is the gospel in the nutshell. If you know John 3:16, you have enough of the Bible memorized to share your faith. That one verse says it all. But in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, that key word in that verse is believe. Believe in the Greek means to place your trust in. Trusting Jesus with your past, that He wash away your past. Trusting Jesus with your present. And trusting Him with your future. Placing your entire trust into Jesus Christ. You know, I wrote down a quote in the back of my little Bible. I carry this Bible everywhere I go. It's my little street preacher Bible. I don't know who wrote it. I wrote it in there. I have no idea who said it, so I can't give them credit. But it goes like this. It says, "Is the world dead to you? If it is dead, you can have Christ living in you. You can't have two lives living at once. Either the world lives or Christ lives. We must choose. Is the world dead or is Christ dead in your heart tonight?" You know, we know where we stand. In my life, I'll share my testimony a little bit in a minute, but you know, all of my life, I had a lot of head knowledge about Jesus here. I was raised in a Christian home. I spent all my my young days, all through high school. I sat in the back of church. I went to youth group every week. Every single week I went to church and put on my church face. I knew all the right things to say to my parents and to the pastor and to the people at church, so I looked like a Christian. But the truth was, I was a complete, utter phony. The truth was, when I was away from church, the true Bill came out. You know, we must really choose. We can't have two lives living at once. Either Christ is going to live, you're going to let Him live, and self is going to die, or self is going to live, and Christ is going to die. Leads us to our third point, what the world has to offer. Verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." It says that all that is in the world, in other words, this is all the world's got to offer. It's all the world's got to offer. Three things, which is really the root of all sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The root of all sin is found right there in those three statements. And you know, the world, she's got some shiny things, and it's calling. It's calling to all of us. There's a spiritual battle going on for every one of our souls. Not just the people out in the streets that are lost and don't know Jesus. Right here, every one of us, there's a battle going on. And if we're honest, and I'll be honest, you be honest with God, I'll be honest with you and God, there's a battle going on in my heart every single day. The devil is always calling to me, and I have to choose, and so do you. Who am I going to let reign? And you know what? Before I get out of bed every single day, because I know who I am, I know what my frame is like, that I'm a sinner, and on my own, there's nothing good in me. And before I even get out of bed, I say, "Lord, please change me today. Please take control. Live through me. I surrender again." You know, salvation is a one-time thing, but every single day I surrender my life to Jesus. That I can die and that He can live. That's what He's calling each and every one of us to do. To surrender that He may live. You know, the lust of the the flesh, those desires of the sinful flesh which seek after the empty things of this world for instant gratification, the drugs and the alcohol, sex and all the other things the world is throwing at our flesh. Secondly, the lust of the eyes, our extreme desire for the earthly pleasures, every kind of fancy clothes and the biggest house, the finest furniture, expensive stuff of all sorts. Our eyes are never happy. We'll never be content with things of the world, the pride of life. You know, so often people look down at drug addicts and alcoholics and they're walking around in their pride. Pride is listed at the top of the sins. It's just like every other sin, the pride of life, hunting after honors and titles, exalting self as God. You know, the world is, the devil, the world system is trying to pull us away from God. We have to choose. You know, I don't know the exact day that it happened. I can still picture the day that I first did drugs. You know, I had some friends that I thought were my friends. Really, they were my enemies, encouraging me to not listen to my parents, to not listen to my pastor, to not go to church, but to come and have fun. It's all about fun in the world. You know, I can still picture that day that I made that horrific choice to do drugs, to smoke marijuana, and it started a steamroll effect in my life that carried on for many, many years. I rejected God, that choice to reject God, to turn my back on God, and to go out, run out into the world. You know, my life ran, I ran very far from the world, from Jesus, way out into the world, out into complete destruction. You know, the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy us. And he has this world system, this, you know, we don't have to go very far. Just drive right down this road all around us. And the devil, using things of this world, is trying to draw us away from God. And don't get me wrong, I like stuff. I like my new phone. I have a nice little phone. I really like it. Amen. It's not about whether you have stuff or not. It's about the order of things in your life. It's about putting God first and everything else fall into place. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. You know, I chose to reject God and to run out into the world. And I ran for a long time. You know, and I was, I'm not sure, I guess God worked, you know, His hand was upon my life all the time I was running. As I look back, I see how His hand was upon my life. And, you know, after running for 20 years, I was sitting there, you know, on the outside appearance, I looked pretty good. You know, I was a police detective. Had a nice family, working narcotics, nice home, nice cars, nice stuff. You know, my flesh was being fulfilled, my eyes were being fulfilled, I was pride, had the pride of life. I was fulfilling all three of these things, and my life was completely empty. See, sin will never satisfy you. You know, and God did a really radical thing in my life to open my eyes to life or death. I praise God, the greatest day in my life was the day that I chose to stop running from God. To turn, repent, and to run to Him. And I realized that none of those things could ever bring life. I was just empty. It didn't matter how much money I had or how much stuff I had or how many things I did. Nothing was satisfying. I realized I wasted 20 years of my life chasing after the things of this world and nothing satisfied. When I came to Jesus, most wonderful day of my life, the greatest day of my life, I called my wife and I said, what I'm going to tell you today is going to change our life forever. I walked into my pastor's office carrying a burden of sin and guilt, shame. You know, I was living a double life. You can't live with guilt. The secrets will destroy you. I walked in that office carrying a burden of guilt and shame. My life was completely a wreck. You know what? I laid my sins at the cross. I confessed my sins to my wife and to my pastor and to Jesus. And I walked out of the office a free man. I realized I'd wasted 20 years. My life. I praise God, though now He's still, you know, He's with me. He set me free. And He wants to use me. He wants to use you for His glory. But don't waste another day chasing after the things of the world. Verse 16 closes, it is not of the Father, but of the world. Do not try to justify your sin. You know, our sinful flesh wants to try to make excuses. But John says, make this very clear, sin is not from God. We must choose. Fourth thing we see is the result of our choice. Verse 17 says, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." You know, the result of our choice is either negative or positive. Perish or abide forever. The negative result, the world is passing away and the lust of it. Or in other words, those who lust after the world will perish. Can't serve both God and the world. You've got to choose. Positive result, he who does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. God or the world, we must choose. You know, we really need to be eternally minded. The things that we do, the choices that we make, affect eternity. Not only those, our own life, but the people around us. You know, as we're driving down the road, as we travel this country, everywhere we go, we on the freeways, we see crosses. Our highways and byways are littered with crosses all along the freeway. And as I was driving down the freeway the other day, I was just like, wow, you know what? I was sharing with Erin. She takes pictures for our ministry. We adopted her into our Agents for Christ. And I was sharing with her, it's like, you know what? Think about that. These people were driving along. The person that represented by that cross, that person that died, they were driving along that day. They had no idea that their time, their number was called, that right then, boom, that they were going to be entering into eternity. Jesus says, nobody knows the day nor the hour. Be ready. We do not know when our day is going to come. Like those people represented by the crosses all across the country. I know if they could speak, I guarantee you that they would say they never dreamed that that was their time. Boom, that it was going to come right there. You know, we need to be eternally minded, not only for our own lives, but for the lives of those around us. Are we ready to meet Jesus today? Are we ready to meet Him face to face? Have you surrendered your life? Have you received salvation that Jesus offers, the free gift? And if you've settled that in your heart and you know for sure that the second you die, you're going to be in His presence, then we need to go out and share that great news with those around us. Because we can't spend our lives doing both things. We can't spend our life wanting and chasing after the thing the world has to offer. We can't spend all our life fulfilling the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, and the pride of life, and expect we're going to have God too. It doesn't work. You must choose. Doing the will of God, the eternal consequences, abiding forever. Abide means to dwell with or live. In other words, he who does the will of God lives forever. What is the will of God? I think Jesus made it just about as simple as possible. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love others as yourself. How do we love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. You know, we don't follow Jesus. We don't obey Him trying to earn our salvation. He says, if you love me, obey me. Not because you have to, because you want to. Realize how great of a love that He had for us, that He was willing to leave heaven and come and die in our place. That we broke the law, but He paid our fine on the cross. That He freely died for each one of us. You know, as I've been walking around sharing the gospel lately, I've really been trying to make it personal, to realize that this is a personal salvation. You can put people's names in that. For God so loved Joe or Debbie or Becky. For God so loved Bill. You can put your name there. For God so loved you that He sent Jesus, His one and only Son, to die in your place. That if you will believe in Him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is a free gift that God is offering to each and every one of us. We must each receive that gift personally. And then we want to obey and follow Him out of love for what He's done for us. We love because He first loved us. How do we love others? I believe the greatest way that you can love others is tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the God who is love. You know, and being a witness for Christ is just sharing with others what you've seen Him do. Like I said earlier, evangelism is just having a conversation about the greatest, most important thing in your life. Sharing the greatest thing that ever happened is what Jesus did for you. Being a witness is just the same. Sharing with others what Jesus has done for you. We saw a car accident out here on the street, and the police showed up and they asked, what happened? You'd tell them what you saw. If you were a witness to the car accident, you'd tell the police exactly what you saw. To be a witness for Christ is just that, to tell others the great things that you saw Jesus do in your life. You know, it says the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. The devil has a lot of tools he's using to try to steal, to kill and destroy. Jesus, greatest act of love ever, he came and died in Calvary in your place. You have to freely choose. I can't choose for you. I can encourage you that I wasted a lot of years following the liar. The greatest day of my life was I chose to follow Jesus. You know, today is the day of salvation. Honor God today. Surrender and live. Worship Him now. We have to let the world die and let Jesus live. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you so much, God, that you died in my place. God, that you paid my sins. You paid for them. You paid for all of our sins, God. I pray for every person here, Lord, that they would let the world die, that they would turn away from the things of this world and run to your arms, God, where true life is found. And Lord, I pray that we'd be your witnesses. You'd empower us. You'd use us. You'd equip us. You'd send us to be your witnesses. And Lord, we thank you that you want to use us, that we get to know you. And Lord, help us to abide, to walk, to live in that grace, to walk in that free, that newness of life that only you can give. In Jesus' name.